Good morning. Good morning to our whole congregation at Forest Pentecostal Church, and good morning to any others that may be listening to this recording from our website over the internet, or perhaps somebody sent you a link. We pray and we believe that God's blessing will be on you this morning. We're preaching this morning and recording at the regular service time. Of course, the pews are empty. Perhaps I could say that I know that you're here in spirit. And yes, I will be asking you questions. There will be a test to see if you actually listened and paid attention. So we have just one announcement, and that is, of course, that our services will be canceled for the next 2 weeks, which is posted on the door. And then we will be reassessing the situation in regard to Easter Sunday and also the Good Friday service. So we'll keep you posted. This morning I am ready to bring you God's Word. And, of course, this is a little different for us all, but I trust we'll be able to adapt to this situation. We certainly have it easy compared to many Christians down through the centuries who have been under persecution and all kinds of trial and troubles, and this is really just a small inconvenience, and we want to be careful and conduct ourselves above all reproach. As I was preparing this sermon this week, I came across a Winnie the Pooh cartoon, and I wanted to begin by sharing that with you. Piglet and Pooh Bear were walking in the woods. Pooh asked Piglet, "What day is it?"
"Today,"
Piglet answers.
"Oh, that's my favorite day," says Pooh.
Piglet continues, "Yesterday, when today was tomorrow, it was too much day for me." It's a cute conversation, but A.A. Milne, the author, hinted at a universal truth. Tomorrow holds a lot of unknowns, and therefore, it often holds a lot of fears. No one can be unaware of the news right now. The COVID-19 new virus from Hunan, China, has dominated the news. In fact, the news is full of bad news. Now, you may, of course, answer that that's normal, but the news is terrible. Thousands of people are sick, and thousands have died. But what's worse, modern medicine has been unable to keep pace. And tragically, this is often because of lack of planning and foresight. A few countries have managed to control the virus, but so far Canada has actually been caught unprepared, and we're behind the curve. That's worse than the virus. The knowledge that our medical system was caught unprepared for this virus eats away at our peace of mind. It eats away at our confidence in the system and in our leaders. But some things never change. There are always new fears arising on the horizon. And the media know that people crave to be safe, and so they crave information. They hope that by gathering more information, we will be able to find an edge and keep ourselves and our families safe. And so the media play on those fears, repeating much the same conversations over and over again. Of course, we hear there are new drugs or drugs that have been repurposed that may help. Hope rises, and they may not. Hope falls. The stock market dropped 30%. Hope falls. And then it rises, and our hope rises with it. Then we hear it roar back. And some media want the news to be good because it suits them, and some media want the news to be bad because it suits them. And so it's hard to know who we can trust. Maybe this is the beginning of an economic turndown, and maybe it's the best opportunity to invest in the stock market of a lifetime. Our hearts tremble. I don't know. You don't know. Google doesn't know. Can I get an amen to that?
Amen.
I repeat, Google doesn't know. Only God knows. Only God knows. The Bible says there is a safety in a multitude of counselors. But you have to choose which counselors that you will listen to. That's difficult because in this day, everyone is claiming to be an expert and they all have something to gain and something to lose. Who's the right counselor for each situation? I don't know. You don't know. Google doesn't know. Only God knows. Concerns, anxiety, fears, more fears. There are new fears every year, or perhaps the same old fears get reworked and rebroadcast. Currently, we're dealing with COVID-19, a coronavirus, which originated in China, probably from bats. Around 2012, MERS appeared in the Middle East. Now, it has a 30% mortality rate. Camels seem to catch it easily, but it also originated in bats. 1,800 people have died of it so far, and it shows up each year in the spring in the Middle East. In 2009, it was the H1N1, swine flu, which infected between 10 and 20% of the world's population, including 10% of Canadians, with 428 deaths. In 2003, it was SARS, originating also in China, which infected about 8,100 people worldwide, with 251 deaths in Canada, where the mortality rate was 17%, one of the highest mortality rates in the world from SARS. And many of those who died actually were medical staff. Of course, we can't leave out Ebola, which rises from time to time in Africa, but is not spread through the air, but only through bodily fluids. It has a 50% mortality rate and causes bleeding, also suspected to be found in nature in bats. Now, the most famous of all is the Spanish flu, which killed millions. Of course, the estimates range between 17 million and 100 million. No one agrees where it first showed up, except for this. It wasn't Spain. Its claim to fame was that it killed more 20 to 40-year-olds than anyone else. Of course, it followed on the heels of the First World War, probably making it far worse because of the wartime conditions. Now, here's an important point. Most Canadians didn't catch these diseases. And most Canadians who did catch these diseases actually survived. Why did they survive? Was it nutrition, hygiene, their age, their general health? Were they non-smokers? Was it just exposure? Some combination, all of the above, or none of the above? Of course, there is much you can do and precautions you can take, but it's impossible. Impossible to eliminate all risk and danger, not just from COVID-19, from your life in general. It is impossible to live a life without risk and without danger. Oh, I'm hoping that the new malarial drugs that they're suggesting may help will do the job. And of course, there's hope in social distancing. We want to believe that we can control every bad thing that may come upon us. But it simply isn't real. And if our peace of mind is dependent upon our being able to control all the dangerous things that exist in our world, we will not have peace of mind. 1 Thessalonians 5:3, the Bible says this: when people are saying peace and safety, sudden destruction will come upon them. Now many live by the motto, love many, trust few, always paddle your own canoe. We want to control every facet of our existence. Seat belts and airbags and alarm systems and video surveillance. But no one can control the drunk driver, the weather, or the viruses. And good people suffer unpredictableness of life every day. The Bible says that Jesus' disciples were puzzled by this man who was born blind. And as they went along, they saw this man who was blind. His disciples said to him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" The question could be very contemporary. We see something bad happens to someone and we wonder, well, how did they do that to themselves? How did they bring that on themselves? Because the last thing we want to entertain is the thought that things could just happen randomly, that we could suffer the same fate. We want to hope that we can avoid it. Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so the works of God might be displayed in him." That was not the answer they were expecting. And it's not one we find very satisfying either. The suggestion that my life is not about me, that my life is about glorifying God, that my purpose is about glorifying God, and that he might find it expedient to allow trouble to come into my days so that he could be glorified, it shakes us. It causes us to wonder. It reminds me, of course, of Job, who suffered exactly for his righteousness. And God's explanation to him was, "This is too big for you to understand." How can we be satisfied that our lives are in his hands and in his control? And that he does as he wishes with us, like a potter does with a lump of clay, making it and remaking it by his own design and for his own purposes. Many simply would prefer to trust in nutrition and exercise. I can hear you asking, "Pastor, are you saying we shouldn't eat well and we shouldn't exercise?" Absolutely not, no. But the Bible says that some trust in horses and some trust in chariots, but we trust in the Lord our God. Some prefer to trust in their wealth. Again, I can hear you ask me, "What, Pastor, are you saying we shouldn't work hard and save and invest?" No, but the Bible says, "Store up treasure in heaven, where there are no thieves or rust or rot, but seek after his righteousness, and these things will be added to you." Some would rather trust in their importance or their significance or their accomplishments. Maybe they're great at some special skill, at lacrosse or soccer or piano or clarinet or preaching. Significance based on the opinions of man is temporary. It's fleeting. Indeed, what one generation applauds, the next tears down. This generation may build your statue, and the next one tear it down and curse your name. The Bible says that Jesus did not trust himself to men because he knew what was in a man. What then? Is our health in danger? Is the economy in danger? If all we work for in this life or try to accomplish can be torn down after we're gone or even while we're watching, then what hope is there for peace and safety? Or specifically for peace in my heart? We face a pandemic, and our government has been caught unprepared. And so our medical system is scrambling to get ready for a wave of patients. We fear the news will be worse before it's better. We fear someone we love will get sick and die. But the Bible says there's a worse pandemic, much worse, and that this pandemic is already upon us. And the mortality for this pandemic is 100%. The name of this disease is not the Spanish flu, the swine flu, not H1N1, not even COVID-19. This disease infects absolutely every one of us. We hope to avoid the effects of COVID-19, but this disease is already in you. The name of this disease is sin. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It is spread over the entire human race. So then, is there any hope for this life or the next? Is there no escape from the hopelessness? Is there no cure? Is there nowhere we can run to? In ancient Israel, there was a law. There was a provision. And this provision was for those who were guilty of manslaughter. The Old Testament law records this, and we may learn from it. It's referred to as the cities of refuge or the cities of sanctuary. They existed so that it could be safe haven for people who had committed manslaughter. They could run there and be safe as long as they would stay in the city of refuge. As long as they could get there before the family member who had the legal right of revenge did not catch them. They were guilty. They had carelessly killed a person, but not with malicious intent. But they were still under the penalty of death, that they could reach the city of refuge. They were protected. If they get to that city of sanctuary and stay in there, they were safe. Now, you may ask me, where's that city of refuge today? Where's our sanctuary city today? Is that New York, Los Angeles, Toronto? No. No, not at all. The recounting of this ancient law in Israel for us has a deeper spiritual meaning. We also are guilty. The Bible says all have sinned, and the Bible also tells us that the wages of sin is death. We may be careful enough and fortunate enough to avoid COVID-19 and its deadly effects, but there is only one place to hide from sin. There is only one way to escape the deadly effects of sin. Peter, the Lord's disciple, told us in Acts 12, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Only in Christ are you safe. There is one escape from fear. There is one escape from disease. There's one escape from financial ruin. If we want to escape from the fear of disease, fear of financial ruin, fear of a wasted and meaningless life, fear of punishment for our sins from a righteous God who has set the standard, which we fail to meet every day. If we want to escape the fear, this freedom of fear can be found. Not in financial success, not in the food we eat, not in fame or accomplishments. This freedom can only be found in Jesus Christ. Salvation can be found only in Jesus Christ. He's the only city of refuge available for you today. Will you run to Jesus today? Will you drop and leave everything behind you and flee to Him? He's the only way to save your life, to save this life, to save your soul from damnation, and to give you eternal life. Jesus invites us all. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Jesus offers rest for your soul. Rest from anxiety, rest from fear, rest from guilt, rest from the labor of striving and straining. But how exactly do we come to Jesus? How does one come to the sanctuary city? The Bible says, Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For the heart, with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. And so God calls us to believe in his only Son, to believe in the complete effectiveness of the death of Jesus Christ on the cross to pay our penalty for our sin. To believe in the complete ability of God to set us free from not only the penalty of sin, but from the dominion of sin. That we should be slaves no longer to our base nature. We are told to believe. And some might mistake that for a simple intellectual agreement. But when the Bible says that we must believe on Jesus, it means we must stake everything upon him. We must cast ourselves on him completely. That we trust him with all we have, with everything that we are. And we must confess that Jesus is our Lord and Savior with our mouth. There's no such thing as a secret agent for Jesus. We have to be able to confess him. Jesus said that if we are ashamed of him, that he will also, on Judgment Day, be ashamed of us. But that if we will confess him, that he also will confess us before the Father. And so I challenge you today, if you have never given your life to Christ, if you have never fled to him and surrendered your will and your future to him, I challenge you even right now to stop and pray with me. Dear Jesus, I come today realizing that I am a sinner and that I am helpless. I ask you to accept me, a poor sinner. Forgive me and cleanse me of my sin, and take me one day to be with you in your heaven. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you did for me on the cross at Calvary. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I also speak to you today who are believers, and yet you feel the fear creeping in around the edges of your life. Anxiety, fear, concern, your health, the economy, your children, your parents, your relatives. Will they all be okay? And I challenge you this morning, flee to Jesus. But doesn't he promise to make everything in my life turn out well? He does, but it often looks different from what we had expected. His promise is that he will take us all to heaven. His promise is that we will have eternal life. But in this life, we may have trouble. And yet you can trust him, because he will never leave you, never forsake you. He will never leave you as an orphan, but he will be by your side. And he will either deliver you from your trouble or give you the strength to walk through it. But in any case, he will be with you. We need to place our trust in him, and not to take back our trust, and not to trust in ourselves. We should not trust in our own wisdom, but in his, and in his goodness, knowing that he works out everything for good for those who love and trust him. And with you, I would ask that you would pray with me as well this morning. Father, I come to you, and I bring you all my anxiety and my fears and my concerns and my worries, and I lay them at your feet. And I lay them at your feet and say, Lord, please take these. The burden doesn't feel light and easy. And I know it's not the burden you have laid on me, but Father, you have said that your burden is light. And so, Lord, I want to trade the one that I'm carrying for the one that you're offering. Take all my concerns and all my fears and anxieties and replace them with the peace that passes all understanding. For we can be at peace in the middle of troubling times if we know that the Lord has control over all these things and over our lives, and that his heart is good, and that he seeks to bless us and everything that happens. And so, Lord, we look in this situation right now when there is such fear around us, and we know, Father, that you are going to bring good out of this, and yet we do not know or understand how. And so we pray, God, do your will. Keep my heart at peace. I trust in you, Lord Jesus. I release all my control. Help me, Father, to live wisely. But help me, Lord, to live above the worries and the fears that plague me. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. God bless you, all our family this week from Forest Pentecostal Church. I assure you that I will be praying for you, and I ask you to pray also for me. And though we are apart physically, we certainly can be together in one spirit. Our prayer meeting will be continuing Wednesday, 7 p.m. We will be practicing social distancing because there's plenty of room here for a dozen people to spread out. But I feel it is imperative that we continue to pray. God bless you, and the Lord watch over you. In Jesus' name, amen.